Hare Krishna. So, on this 5th of March, year 2004, we are finishing this small seminar on the subject of death. I sang a bhajan, which is entitled Tatala Saikate. This song is written in the Maithili language, which is one of the languages of North India. And it is composed by Srila Vidyapati. Vidyapati and Chandidas were poets, medieval poets, who were greatly appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very fond of hearing their works recited to him by his confidential associates. So, mostly Vidyapati and Chandidas are known for writing very intimate descriptions of the amorous pastimes between Shri Radha and Krishna. And so for that reason, most of what they have written is not suitable to be heard by persons like us. Srila Prabhupada clearly stated that in a conversation he had with his disciple Yogesh Chandra Prabhu, who brought to him a book of Vidyapati's poetry, which had been published under the United Nations. Some cultural office of the United Nations had published this book. And so Prabhupada had him read a few selections, and then he commented that this is not suitable to be heard by sadhakas. And then Yogesh Chandra Prabhu, he said, but at least Srila Prabhupada, you can hear. Prabhupada looked at him and said, maybe also not I. So, but this song, Srila Prabhupada himself recorded. It is in some rare collection of Prabhupada's bhajans under the title of Kahe Vishayamana. And this is a very nice song which fits right into our topic. So what I want to do in this last class is go through the song so we can hear the very wonderful, clear message. And also, as we discuss the song, refer to some relevant verses spoken by Sri Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a very nice correspondence between what Vidyapati writes here and some of the prayers of Sri Prahlad. So the song begins, and this first line you'll find quoted in Srila Prabhupada's purports. Tatala saikate bari bindu sam suttamita ramani samaje. And then it goes on. Tohe vishari mana tahe samarpala ab majhu habukon kaje. And I'll read the second verse also. We'll take these two together. Madhava, addressing Lord Madhava. Madhava hama purinam nirasha tuhun jagatarana dina doya moy otaye tuhari vishoyasa. So this means, O Lord, completely forgetting you, I have offered my mind unto the society of women, children, and friends. But this experience has been just like offering a drop of water unto the burning hot sands of the beach. How can I possibly be relieved of this great misery? O Madhava, as a consequence, I am rendered totally despondent. Means he's very depressed. You are the savior of the universe and are most merciful to the helpless souls. Therefore, I place my hope only in you. So, Tatala Saikate, these words mean scorched on the sandy beach. In his translation that we find in Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada renders this Tatala Saikate Baribindu Sana Osama Suttamita Samani Ramaje as meaning that material life, material sense gratification, the pleasure of the senses, is like a drop of water in the desert. Here, the image is a little more filled out. A sandy beach, just like now we are coming into the hot season here in Bengal. And along the banks of the Ganges, there is sand. So, when the sun is very hot, it is starting to come to that point now, but a few more weeks. And then if you will not be able to go barefoot to the Ganga. It will not be possible. Because the sand becomes so hot. Because the sand easily soaks up the hot rays of the sun and becomes just like a top of a stove, you see, top of an oven, and you put your bare feet there. I remember one year, the Mayapur festival, Gaurpurnima, this was maybe the first year I came in 1975, I think it was the first year that I attended in 1975, which is, I think some of you weren't even born in 1975. One, 2 years old. So, and I remember the Gaurpurnima day fell a little later that year than normal. It was, I think, in April or end of March, like that, beginning April. And it was like that. Walk, step on any, you know, dirt, sand, and your feet were immediately burnt. So you had to wear shoes. Otherwise you're doing one of those dances, you know, hot foot dance. Jumping around. So this is the image. Imagine on the bank of a sandy bank of a river. In hot season, often the rivers are anyway dry or just a little trickle in the beginning, so there's lots of sand. And the idea is that in such condition, if one puts one drop of water, so you see, when it's very hot and your skin is scorched and you feel very dry, parched in your mouth, then you want water. Water will help. But then Prabhupada would say, what will one drop do? That is water, and water is what you need, but if you get only one drop, it actually makes things worse. Because you anticipate, well, if there's only one drop, then that will help some, but it doesn't. You put it on your mouth and immediately it's gone. And your body, all the tissues of the body sense, hey, here's water, and they become all, where? And it's already gone. So there's a great expectation, and then it's gone without any effect, and it's even worse. So this one drop of water, that is material pleasure. It's very interesting. This is indicating that the quality of pleasure, happiness, is the same, material or spiritual. There's also that indication in the Taittiriya Upanishad, which Srila Prabhupada quotes, which begins, Rasovai Saha, addressing Saha means he, the Lord. He is Rasa. And Rasa means sweetness. And then this Upanishadic verse goes on to say that all living entities, all jivas, whether they're transcendently situated or even in this material world, all are endeavoring to achieve this rasa. And if there was no rasa, then the jiva would not do anything. So even the materialistic living entities are working so hard, they're getting some rasa. Otherwise, they would just become totally disappointed and stop everything. What's the use? They're getting something, and that something is coming from Krishna. But here is the proper understanding that this material rasa is just one drop in the desert. Whereas the transcendental rasa, that is called akila rasa. There's kila rasa and akila rasa. So akila rasa means complete, unlimited. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu, we say. This is the title of Nectar of Devotion. So it is like an ocean of nectar, rasa amrita. Whereas the material rasa is just one drop in a desert. So that it, as soon as it appears, whoosh, it's gone. You see? A drop. One drop of water on a hot stove, what happens? Psst, it's immediately gone. You see? So this is the sense of the opening lines of this song. So Vidyapati is saying that because I have forgotten you, my dear Lord, therefore, my mind has been drawn into the society of women, children, friends. But the pleasure that I'm getting from this association is again, Hare Krishna, is again this example. It is only like one drop of water in a desert. It does not. Not only does not satisfy, but it increases the expectation, so that in the end one becomes even more depressed, even more, because there's some kind of promise there. This is this material world. There is an appearance that we could become happy here. There are beautiful forms for the eyes, beautiful sounds for the ears. In this way, each of the senses becomes stimulated, and then the hope becomes strong in our heart, I'll be happy. But again, like one drop of water on a hot stone, psh, gone! And then we're disappointed. So he's expressing this. Amadeva hama parinam nirasha tuhun jagatarana dina doya moy. Ateya tuhara vishoyasa. O Madhava, as a consequence, I am rendered totally despondent. So now he's turning to the Lord. You are the Savior of the universe and are merciful to the helpless souls. Therefore, I place my only hope in you. Now this is already transcendental realization, you see. One may be have suffered so much in this world and really lost all hope in everything. But we should place our hope in Krishna. We should not become cynics. You know this word, cynic, cynical. Cynics were no-hope philosophers of ancient Greece. And that word has lived till today, we still have it. A person who always has a perpetual sneer on his face, you know. And when he sees happy, you know, someone happy, like young couple in love, you know, coming down the street, big smiles, arm in arm, ah, this is my boyfriend, girlfriend. He's, just wait. That love won't last. I also had that kind of love too. Ah, turns to poison. There is no happiness anywhere. He sees religious people going to the church or the temple. Again, oh, it is all nonsense. It is all useless. Everywhere he looks, he's ridiculing, he's dismissing. no use, hopeless. So this is what is left for such a person. Suicide. You see? So, no, we should not become cynics. It is a good thing if one loses all hope in this material world. But we should place our hope at Krishna's lotus feet. And this is nicely expressed here by Vidyapati. Now, as I said, I want to, while we're hearing this nice song by Vidyapati, we can look to some verses spoken by Sri Prahlad Maharaj and we get some nice elaboration. Because here Vidyapati is saying, as we have heard, I have offered my mind unto the society of women, children and friends. So now, what about brahmachari sannyasis? You see? Brahmachari sannyasi, he doesn't have association with women or children. He doesn't have that type of association, you know, friends, neighbors. Brahmachari sannyasis don't go to parties. They're not supposed to engage in gossip, talking this and that. So does that mean that this doesn't apply? And why only speak of brahmachari sannyasi? Because if one is in ashram, brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha sannyas. Ashram means place of spiritual practice. Ashram means that one is living under the order of spiritual master. So grihasthas too, they are not supposed to indulge in worldly, mundane family life. Their family life is also supposed to be directed to Krishna, keeping Krishna at the center. Prabhupada writes in his purport, for example, that in Vedic culture, when there would be marriage, at least among Brahmanas anyway, when Brahmana man, Brahmana woman would get married, the marriage would be conducted in the presence of Shalagram Shila. And thereafter, the husband and wife would worship Shalagram Shila. So this form of Lord Krishna as worshipable stone would become the center of the griha. So this is the meaning, ashram. So anyone who's in ashram life then may have this doubt. It sounds here that Vidyapati, he's become disgusted with the ordinary material life. All right, but what lesson is that for me? Is there for me? Because I'm in the association of devotees. So how can I relate to this? So let's hear what Sri Prahlad Maharaj has to say. So we'll read three verses here. My dear Lord, this is from chapter 9 of Canto 7. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, this is significant that he addresses the Lord, Naitanmanas tava katasu Vikunta Nata. Vikunta Nata, Lord of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means the spiritual world where there's no material anxiety. So this is the first thing. This is already a big clue for all of us, because we are not there, we are here. We're not in the Vaikuntha world. We may be sannyasi, brahmachari, this, that, but we are not in Vaikuntha. We are here in the material world, and that means the place of anxiety, place of agitation, place of danger. So, my dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. It's always seeking, in other words, material security. This is the nature of the mind. The material mind seeks mundane security. You see? and that has to be purchased with money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor in such a status of life. How shall I be able to discuss your activities? Very brilliant point here. It's very wonderful what he's saying. This is Sri Prahlad Maharaj, Mahajan, and he's admitting that I am lacking in my taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. And why Prahlad Maharaj, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has said the same thing in his Sikshashtakam prayers, that I have no taste. So, this is the admission of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. They're not presenting themselves, oh, I am Rasika Bhakta, I am dripping with Amrita, my ears are full of nectar, my tongue is always chanting. No, he's saying, I'm very poor, I'm very fallen, I have no attraction, very less attraction, to hear and chant about Krishna. And why is that? He answers that. Because of the state of my mind. My mind is not Vaikuntha guna. It does not have the quality of Vaikuntha. It is sinful. It is lusty. Sometimes I am in sukh. Sometimes I am in dukkh. That means in duality. Dvandva moha. In this way, I am always looking for shelter here in the material world. Again, this is the meaning why he said my mind is looking for money. I'm looking for some secure place. I want some shelter here. I want to be behind strong walls, strong door, iron gate, lock. I want to have a nice safe full of money. I want to have guard with big lati on the door guarding me. You see? Like Prabhupada said, every mouse wants his hole, you know? Mice, they live like hole in the wall. So every mouse is very attached to his mouse hole. Sometimes you may get up in the night, especially here in India, turn on the light, and you see a mouse running, and it goes into his hole. So that's his shelter. You see? That's where he thinks he's safe. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. My mind is like that. And therefore I do not have taste to hear and chant about Krishna. And this is my problem. Therefore I'm in a depressed and dangerous situation. Depressed, fallen, and also dangerous situation. And so he's begging the Lord, how in this condition can I discuss your glories? How in this condition can I be attracted to your katha? This is my state. So you see, now, it doesn't matter, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, here we are in the material world, and this is our same problem. Whatever ashram we're in, we must look at ourselves and see, I'm also lacking. I'm also lacking in this attraction, ruchi, asakti to Krishna. Krishna and Krishna's topics, Krishna katha. I am lacking. My mind is always pulling me towards maya. And then, going on to this point where he says, I have offered my mind under the society of women, children and friends. So again, sannyasi, he may say, no, I have no contact with any of that. But let's hear. Sri Prahlad Maharaj makes a very nice point. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives. Now, remember, Prahlad Maharaj is only 5 years old when he spoke this verse. So, he's not having any wife. But he says, I am like a man who has many wives. So, he's speaking for every one of us, whether one is married or not. I am like a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more. And the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted, Prabhupada in his translation says, generally attracted to cinema songs. I don't know if there was cinema in those days, but there was some drama anyway. Mundane dramas were performed, mundane songs were sung. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification. And the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. Now he's speaking of 10 kinds of senses. There are two groups of senses, Karmendriya, Gyanendriya. And in each group there are 5. So he has said each one is like a wife. And this is true whether one is in a man's body or a woman's body or any child body, any kind of body. Everyone has these senses, and our relationship with them is like husband to wife. Because the senses are there meant to serve us. In the classical idea of marriage, wife is meant to serve husband. So we have these senses, they're meant to serve us. But as everyone knows, in marriage, wife is not simply serving husband. There's other things going on. And so it is with the senses. The idea is they should serve us, but as Srila Prabhupada Maharaj reveals, they're also agitating. They're also demanding. They're also taking control. And in the end, what does it mean? Who is serving who? Who's serving who? We become godas. We think my senses are there to serve me, but in the end we are serving the sense. When the tongue demands, I want to taste something nice, nice rasgulla, gulab jamun. And he's insisting very strongly. Yeah, what? We surrender. You see? We serve. All right. We go to the sweet shop. Radha Madhava sweet shop. And there we can purchase some nice sweet. You see all the devotees lined up, isn't it? Every morning. Especially trying to get the orange cake. And why is that? Well, of course, this is transcendental also. In Krishna consciousness, we don't try to suppress the senses, we engage the senses. But you see this principle at work. You see, you can observe. Sometimes I have, in that conch building that overlooks the temple courtyard, I have stood up there and just watched. And you see on that hour, when the sweets are brought out, you see some devotees, they have been waiting and they go to buy. And other devotees are just walking by. You know, they're coming out of the temple or going in the temple, walking. And then they look and they see devotees are there lined up and buying. And they look, they're getting sweets. Then you see like they become a little hesitant in their steps. They wanted to go into the temple, but sweets. Oh. And then they're also getting in line. And the other side, you see the line getting bigger, bigger, bigger. This is the tongue. Tongue is demanding. And so he has so nicely pointed out, every sense is calling us, serve me, serve me, serve me. So therefore it doesn't matter what ashram, it doesn't matter whether I'm man or woman, child, old person, everyone's position is actually the same. So this is the application here. Tohe vichari mana tahe samarphala. Completely forgetting you, I have offered my mind into the society of women, children, and friends. Vidyapati. And then, concerning this example of as we said, drop of water on the sandy beach, tatala saikate, bari bindu sam, sutamita ramani samaje. So Srila Prahlada Maharaj has also something to say. My dear Lord, you are always transitly situated on the other side of the river of death. We're talking about beach, sandy beach on the riverside. Now we are on the wrong side. That's the problem. The Lord is on the other side of that river, Srila Prahlada Maharaj says. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river. Now he's taking it further. You see? Now you can imagine. You're on this side, and you're very hot. The sand is burning under your feet. Your throat is dry. You need water, and all you could get was one drop. And then you look, oh, this river is there. Here's a chance. But that river is very deep and flowing very swiftly, like Gangama. Very nice looking river, but once you get out there, she's moving so swiftly. And sometimes it happens. Devotees are drowning. This happened a few years ago. One Mataji, she came from Indonesia, from Bali, and she was pulled away by Ganga. So Sri Prahlada Maharaj is expanding this vision that trying to slake our thirst, we have entered this dangerous river and now we are drowning in it. We are repeatedly suffering from the pain of birth and death, and he says, and eating horrible things. This is also material life. Jivasya jivan jivanam. One jiva eating another jiva. Even if one is taking veg only, that veg is also a jiva. So, this is the river of birth and death, full of things eating one another. So he's praying, now look kindly upon us. Not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Now, just as Vidyapati is praying to Lord Madhava, now my only hope is in you. You see, these visions of this world that we hear from Vidyapati and Sri Prahlada Maharaj, they are causing vairagya to come up when we hear these descriptions. It's so clear, so full of color. It impresses us so deeply. And we begin to think, yes, why am I wasting time here, still trying to enjoy, at least on the mental plane? Let me get out of this world. So then, Vidyapati goes on, Adha Janamaham Ninde Goya Yalun Jara Shishu Kottadina Gela Nidubane Ramani Rasarange Matala Tohe Bajabo Konbela. Wandering about in a half alive condition, I spend my life in utter disgrace. Uncountable days pass as a frivolous child and a useless old man. I've been intoxicated by the pleasure of sharing romantic adventures with beautiful young women. When will I ever get a chance to worship you? So on this point about wasting one's life, Sri Prahlada Maharaj has also very nice points to make. In chapter 6 of Canto 7, he says that every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost Because at night he sleeps 12 hours being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years. You see? So if one lives 100 years, 50 years are wasted in sleep. Or one may sleep less, but still it is. Even if one sleeps only half that, it's 25 years. Can you imagine? 25 years sleeping. Imagine that time from when you were born to age 25. You see? That all those years spent like a banana. You see? Banana comes with his own sleeping bag. See? 25 years as banana. Banana life, banana consciousness. And then Prahlad Maharaj says, in the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. He's starting with 50 years. 50 years gone by sleeping. And then he takes away another 20. Huh? Childhood and youth. Similarly, in old age, when one is invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. You see, old men are in this concept, old men, old women. Oh, you have to take it easy. You can't work too hard anymore. We have to be very careful with our health. You see, this is their conception. So this is also wasting. So he's actually leaving only 10 years. And then when we go back to Vidyapati, we look at what he's saying. He's saying, in those 10 years that are left, I have been intoxicated by the pleasure of sharing romantic adventures with beautiful young women. Well, then there's zero. In this way, one can waste the whole life. So this is the danger. Someone, you were saying yesterday, you heard in the class, it was mentioned how one puts it off for the future. Oh, it's not time yet for me to become serious about Krishna consciousness. Or maybe next week, next month, next year. Well, since our topic today is about death, we've been discussing death in this seminar. Think of Maharaj Parikshit. He was most fortunate because he knew, I have only 7 days left. So then he gave up everything else, those 7 days, just to hear about Krishna. But we don't know. We assume we have 70 years in front of us, but we don't know. We may not have 7 seconds. So therefore, one should not plan in this way, to put off, because we don't know how much time we have. So when we hear these nice prayers, it makes us serious to apply ourselves in Krishna consciousness now. So going on, in verse 4, Vidyapati prays, Koto chatura nana mari mari jaota natuya adi avasana tohe janami puna tohe samaota sagara lahri samana. Now this means numberless Brahmas have died one after another, whereas you are without beginning or end. All of them take birth from you and are again absorbed in you, just like waves in the ocean. So here we get the understanding that this duration of the universe, you know, we're talking about life and death. So just like our body has its span of life, so does this whole universe. And we think that span of life is so long. The modern scientists, they measure the universe in billions of years. They say the universe maybe 12, 13, up to 20 billion years. They always give different numbers because actually they don't know. But In this way, 12, 15, 20 billion years, they say. But the Vedas say the universe lasts for 300 trillion years. Much, much longer than even modern scientists can imagine. So to us this seems, oh, such a long time. But Vidyapati is informing us that so many Brahmas have come and gone, and their coming and going is just like waves of the ocean. You see a wave splash in, recede, another one splash in, recede, another one splash in, recede. And like that, the universes are coming and going. So many Brahmas coming are going. And he points out that all of this has its rest, has its foundation in the Lord, who is eternal, who is without beginning and end. Now, taking this a step further, Lord Brahma, he is the giver of Vedic knowledge for this universe. So, the Vedic knowledge, particularly the Vedanta, which is the conclusion of the Vedic knowledge, is instructing us how to meet death. So, this Vedic process, which is presented in the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras, such scriptures, is meant for very highly qualified persons who have mastered Vedic knowledge, who are Brahmanas by qualification and mastered Vedic knowledge, and they have practiced sadhana throughout their life, so that when death comes, then they can achieve success in what's called utkranti. Utkranti means passing out of the body upward. Ut means up. So you know there are seven chakras. Prabhupada mentions this in a Gita purport. And the top chakra, the Sahasra chakra. So this is a nadi, an opening, by which one achieves liberation. Around the heart, there are 101 nadis, or subtle tubes. And the soul may go out from the heart at the time of death through any one of them. But unless we go through this Shushumna nadi, out of the Sahasra chakra, then these other nadis will take us to some other birth. So this is a lifelong practice that those who follow this Vedic knowledge, who become masters of Vedic knowledge, their whole practice is leading up to this utkranti, to be so self-controlled, self-composed at the time of death, that the soul goes out this one nadi out of 101 and passes out through the top of the head. This is called utkranti. So this is the start of the way to liberation. Then, next phase is called archiradi. There is a mystical path. And we see the sun there. You're blocking. Anyway, that's okay. But he's standing to block the sun. So archiradi means path of the sun. So there is a mystic path that is marked out by the sun in this universe. And the soul has to follow this path and go beyond the sun, beyond the moon, beyond the Devalokas, and finally achieve Brahmaloka. So Vidyapati is speaking of Lord Brahma. So one finally should achieve this Brahmalok and enter Brahmalok and remain there until the end of the universe. And then when the universe dissolves, then one can achieve, following behind Lord Brahma, one can achieve Brahma Swarup. One can achieve spiritual destination in the realm of Brahman. So this is, as I have told you, you can understand, this is very long and very difficult, very demanding path. So what is our qualification then? You see, if that's all there was offered in the Vedic scriptures, and we could all just go home now. Just cut off our seekers and quit. What is the hope? We don't even know these things, you see. I'm telling you, but what does it mean to us? It's all very, you know, mystical and mysterious. Oh, nadis, and we have to go through this one nut. At the time of death, who is going to be able, you know? It's such a shocking thing, time of death. Who's going to remember? Oh, there are 101 nadis and I have to take this one. So this is another thing, you see. We're hearing about how the coming and going of these Brahmas, and also the knowledge that Brahma is giving, this Vedanta knowledge, this is all depending on the Lord. And so Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he's saying, the four principles of advancement in spiritual life, dharma, artha, kam, and moksha. And what I've told you about, this sadhana, utkranti, archiradi, brahma sarup, this is constituting moksha. This is the path of moksha. So dharma, artha, kam, and moksha all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Worship Him, the Super Soul, in devotional service. Very nice. See? Sri Prahlad Maharaj is saying, since one's success in achieving liberation, going back home, back to Godhead, getting out of the cycle of birth and death, all of that ultimately depends on Krishna. So therefore, do one thing. And that is worship Krishna, and worship Krishna purely, without desire, following in the footsteps of the Lord's devotees. So this is a very nice point. Yes, our situation in this world, yes, is very dangerous, and we are so weak and fallen and unqualified, but Krishna is there. Srila Prabhupada used to quote his father. He learned a saying from his father that God has 10 hands. So if God has 10 hands, then you see, if you approach him to take something from him, what can you take with your 2 hands? Meaning that he is giving so much with his 10 hands. So don't think he's a miser. Don't worry. Oh, will Krishna take care of me? He's giving more mercy than we can imagine. We cannot conceive of the mercy that Sri Krishna, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the Guru Parampara, are handing down to us. But to receive this mercy, one must endeavor. Just like he's giving with his 10 hands, you have only 2 hands. So one must be very attentive. One should not take for granted. One should not dismiss this chance. Ignore it. Be inattentive. Such a great gift Krishna is offering us in this lifetime, this one chance. So accept it carefully. That means avoid offenses, avoid 10 kinds of offenses. Practice devotional service, as Sri Prahlad Maharaj is saying, very attentively, carefully, without letting material desire corrupt the process. So finally, Baneye Vidyapati Shesha Shamana Bhoy. Tuya bina gati nahi ara adi anadika nata kahayasi Bhavatarana Bharatohara. Vidyapati confesses that now at the end of his life, he is fearful of death. O Lord, there is no shelter other than you. You will always remain celebrated as being the Lord of both the beginning and the beginningless. Now the responsibility for my deliverance from the material world is entirely yours. Very nice. Yes, he's admitting, I'm afraid of death. Therefore, I consign myself completely to the shelter of Krishna. And I leave it up to him. He's saying, my business is simply to place myself totally under his lotus feet. Now, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he makes an interesting point, because we have been saying how death is another form of the Lord. So, and it is a fearsome form, just like Lord Nrisimhadev. So Prahlad Maharaj says in chapter 9, my Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. So it's not in this sense that one should fear death, the fearful appearance of death. Not in that sense, but there is something to fear in relation to death, and that is explained in the next verse. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? You see, what Prahlad Maharaj is saying is fearful is our material association that we have become conditioned by. We have been born in this Kali Yuga, in some God-forsaken place, some God-forsaken corner of the world, Finland or Poland or some other crazy place, where the people are totally in ignorance, and we have grown up in that same ignorance. And we have become so conditioned, so subtly conditioned in the way we view the world, the way we relate with other people. All of this is conditioning. Our assumptions about life, all of this conditioning is there. So this is what is fearful, that if we are still leaning upon the material nature, leaning upon our conditioning, still in the bodily conception of life, still in the mental conception of life, still taking shelter of Maya in so many ways, and then if in that condition death comes, that is fearful. Not the scary appearance of death, you see. Not that that is in itself fearful, but our condition that death will find us in, that is fearful. Because then that death will simply be the doorway to another birth in this world again. So this is, we see in both Vidyapati and Sri Prahlad Maharaj, they are praying that may I come completely under the shelter of your lotus feet. This is the only hope for me. Let me just come completely under your feet. No other shelter than you. And then one's position is fearless. Then let death come. That is just another, again, just another form of Krishna. As Sri Prahlad Maharaj says, he's praying. Actually, he's praying for that. He's saying, when will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which is the ultimate goal for liberation from conditioned life? That's what he's actually, when will you call me to you? Come as death and take me out of this situation. So this is the This is where the question of fear comes in. We should fear our long association and conditioning under the modes of material nature. Because if we are still polluted by that, then the death that comes to us will just be the entrance to another womb in this material world. And this way, this cycle of samsara goes on and on. All right, so that will conclude our little seminar on the pleasant topic of death. Are there any questions? Yeah?
You were saying that if we take shelter of material arrangements and leave our body in this condition, then we take another birth. What if we transcend the modes of nature, we transcend the bodily plan, the bodily conception of life?
Well, you see, one cannot transcend the modes of nature unless one does take shelter of Krishna. Kapila Dev says in the Bhagavatam that there are two conditions of existence, or two states of existence. One, the transcendental state, and that state is when one has become fully attached to the Supreme Lord. Then one achieves that state. And the other state is conditioned life, and that is when one is attracted to the three modes of material nature. So it's one or the other. So if one is not fully attracted to the Lord, if one has some reservation in one's development of love of God, something holding back, then if one is, you know, practicing sadhana, very pure in one's habits, then one will be in the mode of goodness. So the mode of goodness is very nice, yes, but still material situation. In the mode of goodness, one may achieve liberation also in Brahma Jyoti. So this is another kind of conditioning. It's a kind of spiritual laziness. One is thinking, yes, I'm not having problem with sense attraction. I'm feeling Atmarama, satisfied in my own spiritual nature. I'm, you see, completely detached from this world. So in this way, then, one becomes complacent. One thinks, yes, I'm liberated. What more do I need? But that is still conditioning. As Krishna explains in the Gita, one becomes conditioned by sense of knowledge in the mode of goodness. One knows, I'm not this body. And then one thinks, that's it. I'm spiritually situated, and doesn't endeavor to develop one's loving relationship with Krishna. So that may be considered a kind of liberation, but in the material mode of goodness. And therefore, one's standing is not secure. Bhagavatam warns, Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tada Pasanti Adho Nadrata Yusmadanangaya. That unless one has come completely under the shelter of Parampadam, the lotus feet of the Lord, sooner or later one will fall down, even if one has gone up to Brahman platform. Sooner or later one is going to fall down. And that position is called in this verse, Vimukta Manina. One is thinking by one's knowledge, by what one has learned, studying the Shastras deeply and so on and so forth. One is thinking he is liberated. So that liberation is on the mental platform, in other words. So he's keeping his mind in the mode of goodness. Therefore, he's thinking, I'm liberated. But mode of goodness ultimately gives way to passion and ignorance, sooner or later. So it is not a secure situation.
What is referred in Shastra as mukti is not really a mukti. It's not liberation.
Yeah, well, there's this term vimukti to indicate something that looks like mukti, but is not really. So the Lord is muktipad. There was that discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Bhagavatam uses this term muktipad, and Sarvabhauma wanted to change the verse to bhaktipad. But Mahaprabhu said, no, it original says mukti, so keep it like that. And then Sarvabhauma said, I don't like the sound of the word mukti anymore. It sounds so impersonal to me, so it should be bhakti. And then Mahaprabhu said, no, that if one takes full shelter of the Lord, then one achieves actual mukti. So the word is right. So that is real mukti, to be under the lotus feet of Muktipad. That is real mukti. But anything else which is other than fully depending upon Krishna for one's liberation, that is not real liberation. That is called vimukta manina, simply the idea of liberation. And again, it is not secure. Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Mayapur Dham ki jai. Pur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Hari Bol.